Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Happy Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to you. Hey, remember the movie Independence Day? That was a big movie, wasn't it? With actor Jeff Goldblum, 1996 movie. He was complaining in the movie that people do not recycle. You see, instead of worshiping the creator, our culture worships the creation. They're dirt worshipers. So he's complaining that people don't recycle. He picks up a styrofoam cup in the movie, and he throws it into a recycle bin, and he says, "My God." And there was one of those brief instances where Hollywood presents the truth. Right, to him, that's his God. Nature is his God. Recycling is his God. People who reject the creator, they worship the creation. They're dirt worshipers. They say we've got overpopulation, global warming, we're running out of natural resources. And I'd like to look at all three of those issues. We're running out of natural resources? Really? What? We're running out of water. We haven't used up one drop of water since the Industrial Revolution. What, do you drink water? What happens? Does it disappear? No. Use your water. Use as much as you want. We need to build more dams, more reservoirs. But I've got a book here. This is before global warming became popular in the 80s when we had a heat spell. This was from the 1970s. When was the first Earth Day? First Earth Day was in 1970, right? Here's a book published by Prentice Hall. Is it on global warming? Real book. Got it in my library. It's called The Cooling. This was what the environmentalist wackos were saying before they latched onto global warming during the 70s. Here's this book by Lowell Ponte, and it's titled The Cooling. Has the next ice age already begun? Can we survive it? The cooling, right? And you open the flap. Are we entering a new ice age? Many scientists think so. Earth's climate has been cooling rapidly for the past three decades. You know, it's a little chilly today, too, come to think of it. So anyway, you've heard that the Reds became the Greens, right? The new home of the Reds is the Greens, the communists, the radical socialist. They weren't getting too far with their communist platform, so they moved into the environmental movement, and that's the new home of the Reds is the Greens. Well, global warming, let's see, the Earth warms the sun, and obviously, mankind has some impact on our environment, but when you look at the chemicals we release versus the chemicals that are released by, say, volcanoes, right? Mankind has an impact on the Earth, but the liberals who wake up in a panic each morning and saying, the Earth is coming to an end, how could we empower government? They think that we don't have a recollection that. Here's this book, the chapters in this book, The Cooling, The Seeds of Our Own Destruction, The Politics of Global Cooling. These are the chapters, right? Weather, climate, and war. Change ourselves. Ice or dice. So stupid. Anyway, the Bible says, the Lord said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, oh, warning, Will Robinson, there, Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you raw notice, gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, the Lord said in Genesis 8, he said, while the earth remains, cold and heat, winter and summer shall not cease. So that's a prediction. And since the prophecies of the Bible come true, we could trust God that that will come true also. Okay. So anyway, I'm not worried about global warming. Regarding overpopulation, we've got a neat pamphlet on overpopulation. And let me see if it's up on the web. You might be able to get it on our website, but I'll give you some of the stats out of this. And I'll tell you about, let's see, kgov.com, kgov.com, Bob's writings. Here it is. Stop overpopulation? Question mark. It's on the web. You could check it out if this interests you. Some years back, we had a school board member, a public school teacher and from Colorado, actually Brighton, Colorado, and he's a local columnist. We interviewed him on Bob and Yurt Live because he wrote an article saying that Somalia, the people in Somalia were starving in Africa because of their overpopulation. So, you know, he's an educated guy. His name is Jack Fish. He's an educated guy. He writes an article on the topic. We figure, well, he might know something about it. So we called him and interviewed him. And let me give you a bit of a transcript from the interview. I asked him, Jack Fish, what you say Somalia has an overpopulation problem. That's why they're starving. What is their population? And what's the population of Somalia? Oh, well, I'm not sure. I'm not asking for an exact number, just to the nearest million. Well, I don't know. I haven't looked that up. Well, then, if they are overpopulated and you're not sure of their population, do you know what the density is? What is their population density per square mile? Well, I don't know. So it turns out this public school teacher and board member in Colorado wrote an article on the people in Somalia are starving because of overpopulation. And he hadn't even bothered to check what is their population and what is their population density. And I've got that right here in front of me. It's in our little pamphlet on overpopulation that we put together here at Bob and Yurt Live. We've got a list of nice places to live, and right next to it, a list of lousy places to live. And the one thing that's most striking is the difference in the population density. And we list them alphabetically, these two lists. And the lousy places to live typically have a population density of in the tens, like 10 people per square mile or 40 people per square mile or 80, something like that. The nice places to live typically have a population density in the hundreds of people per square mile or even thousands. For example, compare Austria to Angola. If you're going to go on vacation, go for a trip, maybe move to another country, would you prefer Austria or Angola? Angola has a population density of 18 people per square mile. Lousy place to live. Austria has 243 people per square mile. How about Belgium versus Bolivia? Now, Bolivia, not too many people would choose Bolivia as a nice place to live. That's 17 people per square mile. Belgium, 848. How about Denmark versus Botswana? Well, Denmark, 300 people per square mile. Botswana, 5. 5! How could you have a nice place to live when there's nobody there? People enjoy people and we serve one another. And that's part of what it means to have a good standard of living. So England, 600 people per square mile. Central African Republic, 12. France, 250 per square mile. Well, not the greatest place to live, but Chad, you know, not Florida, not pregnant Chad. It's the country in Africa, Chad, 10 people per square mile. So lousy places to live are like Zambia, 30 people per square mile. Somalia, 29 compared to Switzerland, 428 compared to the Netherlands, 958 lousy places to live. Sudan, 29. Well, let's see. Paraguay, 31. Niger, 16. Namibia, 4 people per square mile. Laos, 48 people. So you got lousy places to live and then nice places to live, like first standard of living. Like Germany, 600 people per square mile. Israel, 600 people. I'm rounding them off. Italy, 500 people per square mile. Japan, 800 people per square mile. Rhode Island, 850 people per square mile. You get the idea here? And then a lot of people like the big cities in the world, like Athens, Paris, Rome, Sydney, Australia. Athens, 30,000 people per square mile. Boston, 8,000. Paris, 20,000. Rome, 44,000 people per square mile. San Francisco, 9,000. What do people rather – well, forget San Francisco. But what's more appealing, Boston or Sydney or Nigeria? So the earth is not overpopulated. Everyone in the world could come to Colorado. They could all come to Colorado. Now, we could all fit in Texas. Everyone in the world could fit in Texas and have a good amount of land for a home and a nice big yard. But if they all came to Colorado, let's see, on one day, where can we put them all? Well, if you get a map of Colorado, there's a little dot somewhere up in the northeast quadrant, and it says Rocky Mountain National Park. A little map on the dot of Colorado. Everyone in the world could go in that little dot. We could all hold hands, hug, sing kumbaya, and realize the world is not overpopulated. Then kick them all out again because we have too much welfare to let them stay here. Get rid of welfare, they could stay here. All right. And then the last thing for Earth Day, the last point, is we're running out of resources. No, we're not running out of resources. For example, Paul Ehrlich, he wrote that silly book, The Population Bomb, which every prediction in that book came false. He said there'd be millions of people in America dying of thirst and starvation in the 80s and 90s. By the year 2000, he's just a wacko. And liberals in the media, they quote him as though he has a brilliant scientist insight. So Dr. Paul Ehrlich, well, back in 1980, an economist challenged Ehrlich to a bet, a 10-year bet, because Paul Ehrlich was saying the earth is running out of natural resources. So the economist, Dr. Julian Simon, said, okay, I'll make you a bet. And here's the bet. It's a 10-year bet. You say we're running out of everything? Well, you can tell if there's a shortage of something by its price. When things are in short supply, the price goes up, right? Like Cabbage Patch dolls. And then when there's too many, the price is, you give them away. So the conservative economist, Dr. Julian Simon, said to Paul Ehrlich, you pick any five natural resources you want to pick. Whatever you want to pick, pick five, and I will bet you that in 10 years, it will be cheaper to buy those five natural resources than it is today. And so they made the bet. Paul Ehrlich, the environmental wacko, these are the resources he picked, five metals. He picked chrome, because everyone knows the world is running out of chrome, and copper. We use that in our electrical wires, and nickel. We're running out of nickel and tin and something called tungsten. Those five metals he picked. And Paul Ehrlich, since the world is overpopulated and we're running out of natural resources, he knew that in 10 years, it would be much more expensive to buy, let's say, 50 pounds of each of those, whatever amount they chose. So 10 years later, you know what happened? Who won the bet? The environmentalist or the conservative economist? We'll never bet against a conservative economist. Julian Simon won the bet, and Dr. Paul Ehrlich had to mail him a check. In fact, we have a video, Environmentalist Loses 10-Year Bet. And in the video, we show a picture of the check. You could get the video from us if you wanted to our website, kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-NYART. At any rate, he had to mail the check. It was for $576 because the environmentalists lost the bet from the 80s to the 90s when the population of the world increased by 100 million people or more. Those resources became more plentiful, more available, because more people were able to put their heads together and figure out, you know, how do we provide for ourselves on this earth that God has given us. So, but he didn't have the courage to sign the check, Paul Ehrlich. So he had his wife sign it. And I thought, what a coward. Anyway, we have a picture of that in our video on this very topic. And so that's for Earth Day. Welcome to Earth Day. It's nice and cool. Colorado might get a foot or more of snow, especially in the mountains, maybe a half a foot in the Denver metro area tonight. So for Earth Day, global warming, God's granted us a nice snowstorm, cool day, and we're not running out of resources, and the world is not overpopulated. Okay, now let's go to the phones. Our number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In La Plata, Maryland, Jenny, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
It's going great, Jenny.
Well, we have global warming here on the East Coast.
You do?
It's like 90.
It is?
Yeah,
it's
90 here in Maryland.
I saw that on Fox this morning, East Coast, Southern states, pretty hot.
Yeah.
Well welcome to global warming. We have global cooling.
Well, I think it's actually, we're closer to, you know, the Congress and Senate, so it's just a little bit of hell seeping out. So
that hot air.
It's that hot air.
Yeah. All right.
But anyway, I'm actually calling in. I listened to your show in the morning from the previous day.
On the internet, on KGov.
On KGov.
KGOV.com. The show gets uploaded within a half hour, usually by about 6 o'clock Eastern time, 6 p.m. in the evening.
And I listen to it usually in the morning before my kids get up, so I can actually listen to it in peace. So.
Okay.
But so anyway, I listened to the show yesterday, and there was a lady who called in, and then there was a gentleman who called in, I think his name was Blair.
Blair. Oh, you're funny, Jenny. Blair from Boulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just, when I was listening to it this morning, I don't know, I don't drink coffee, so it wasn't before my coffee, but I was pretty fuming. I'm one of the very, very few. I think I'm one of the 5 ultra right-wing conservatives left in Maryland.
In Maryland, right.
Only 5 probably left.
Yep, he's supporting homosexuality, and he had to be vulgar, of course.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. It's just the thing that outraged me is these people know they're a mess. People who supported, he sounded like he could be in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
The way he supported it. So they have no leg to stand on, so that's how they have to lash out. They have to be vulgar because they know they have no argument. Mm. You can't argue with God because you're going to lose.
Right.
And he, you know, so immediately they have to get vulgar, and it's true. I mean, as a woman, I'm tough enough to take it, but still. Kids could have been listening. I know my sister's kids, you know, one of them's 10 listens. And I'm telling you, Blair, let me tell you. You know, I said, I pray. That's the thing about Christians. I'll pray that he can get saved because I pray that I'll get. But if he rejects, then I want to be there. Since I heard that vulgar, I want to be there on Judgment Day.
On Judgment Day with Blair before you being judged. Now, the Bible says that we will judge the world, that we Christians will judge the fallen angels. And we will judge the world. That's in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes that. And in Revelation, we read that God commits judgment to the hands of his saints. Jesus Christ said that the generations of men on earth will judge the wicked men.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I used to be one of those nicer-than-God people, and then I became a Christian. Then I was kind of a nicer-than-God Christian. And fortunately, through the years, just toughen up, listening to you has helped a lot. But you know what? If we're going to be judging the wicked, which I know, all I have to say is bring it on.
All right, Jenny.
Because I'm fed up with people like this guy.
Yeah,
abortion.
Right.
When we
kick God out of government and law, and the foundation of our culture is no longer thou shalt not commit adultery, steal, murder, or commit perjury, bear false witness. When we get rid of all that, then our culture only falls further and further into the sewer. And Blair from Boulder is in the sewer, shouting up to those who are still out to come and join him in the filth.
Oh yeah, his take on the whole thing was parochial and just like I said, it was like a kid. It was like a little kid just saying, you know, just lashing out. They have to get nasty and belligerent to get their point across because they're not smart enough to have a valid point.
I don't think he became belligerent, but he was filthy.
Well,
he was like a smart aleck little brat.
Yeah, Yeah,
introducing.
Exactly. Very childish.
Yeah.
And I find that to be a lot. I don't want to take up a lot of your half an hour show, but my sister-in-law is a homosexual. I have to deal with that on the day-to-day, in and out. I have 2 3-year-old kids. You know, she's in their life.
Right.
And I hate the word partner. So her queer friend is, you know, comes over with her. And one time they were here with my kids and they were doing something vulgar with 2 of their dolls.
I can tell you how you should refer to her, what you call her.
FOMO?
Well, a female homo, yeah, that. Or if, let's say you have a brother who has a partner, a guy or a sister, you call it an it-in-law.
What?
It's not a brother-in-law. It's not a sister-in-law. It's an it-in-law.
I'll have to remember that.
So she's your it-in-law.
Okay. She's right. My it-in-law. I guess.
But anyway, yeah, the sad thing is she, obviously, your kids have to deal with this. You have to deal with this.
Yeah.
In the family. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I thank you, Bob, for your stand on things, especially, you know, with the homosexuality issue and the abortion issues and the things on KGov. I just encourage everybody listening to get on KGov, and there's a lot of abortion information and the gallery, and it's phenomenal.
You know,
and it's,
Jenny,
you know,
that gallery, we were talking a day or two ago about how popular KGov is when you search for topics on Google. So many topics, KGov.com, our website, comes up right near the top. Even things that we only deal with occasionally, like predestination and free will, God and the death penalty.
Oh, that's cool, because we have Google, but I just go right to KGov.
Yeah,
so that's cool to know.
But our gallery, it's startling. People around the world, if they're going to look at abortion or terrorism or something, they come to the KGov gallery from all over the world. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Jenny, thank you so much.
All right, Bob. Take care. God bless you.
I appreciate that. We'll go to the phones here in another second, 1-800-8-NYART. But I wanted to let you know, when the pro-aborts, the Colorado NARAL, Colorado Organization of Witch Women, all these pro-abort groups, Planned Parenthood, they've got a march this Sunday in Washington, D.C., and for abortion. They're marching to keep the right to kill babies, kill unborn children. And they had a send-off rally in Denver on the steps of the Denver courthouse yesterday at noon, and they had about 100 people there or so, and we had about 15 with our big signs showing what they actually are talking about, killing children, dismembering kids, literally cutting off their arms and their legs, cutting off their heads. It's sick what abortionists do to unborn children. And so while they were on their steps with their rally, the reason my voice is still raspy is because there were 15 of us, and a number of us were holding up our signs facing their entire group, and we were shouting, "Stop killing kids. Stop killing kids." Loud. I remember praying at the beginning that God would help me use my voice right so that my voice could boom and outlast their event. And it did. And our goal is to make sure that child killing does not happen with tranquility on our watch and our community. All right, so let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278. In Aurora, Colorado, Dan, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Listen, you were talking about this Paul Ehrlich, environmentalist.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere that in the latter days, Bible indicates the land, the air, and the water will become fouled?
Well,
that's one of the signs of the latter days.
Yeah, in the book of Revelation, not in the latter days, but I'd say a plague during the Great Tribulation.
It was more along the lines of
Remember that you've got the 7 trumpets and the 7 bowls, and not to mention the 7 thunders. And the 7 seals. And so it was one of those judgments from God. Yeah. So
okay. So
are you saying that that the pollution that we see in the world today is maybe a fulfillment of that?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, you know, I just read in Time, in a news magazine today, that 80% of the Superfund cleanup sites in the United States, 80% of them,
yeah,
have contributed significant pollution to the groundwater. Did you know that something like almost 100% of all rural water users get their water from underground aquifers, and something like half of the rest of the United States gets their water from those sources? So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, we obviously have to be careful not to pollute the water we drink, but in the last let me ask you this question. If we look at air pollution and water pollution in America, in the last 40 years, has our water become cleaner or dirtier?
It's gotten much better, thank heavens.
Yeah, dramatically cleaner.
Yeah, and we shouldn't turn the clock. We shouldn't turn the clock back on that either.
Well, I agree. You don't want to dirty your water, but you know it's somewhat understandable. Mankind lived for 5,000, almost 6,000 years, and we didn't know how to build machines that were powered by fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And then we learned how to do that, and it's like an inventor in his garage working for 3 years, and he finally invents something, and his wife comes out and says, Fred, look at the mess you made. And so then he spends a couple weeks cleaning up. So mankind spent centuries trying to improve our standard of living. We made these machines, and they dirtied up our environment a bit, and then we have enough quality of life that we could spend time cleaning up our environment and trying not to dirty it again.
Okay.
Is that reasonable, do you think?
Yeah, it's reasonable. One other comment. I think Paul Ehrlich was right, except that he jumped the gun a little bit, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Did you know that right after World War II, starting like in the 1950s, we had used up so much high-grade iron ore from Minnesota up around that area,
yeah,
that we basically in this country don't have any reserves of high-grade iron ore. Now, by that I mean ore that's 50 to 60% iron by weight. We have a lot of ore, but it's not too good. It's like less than 30, 20% by weight of iron. And
so we're in danger because we can't make weapons of warfare if we need it?
Well, no, Do you know who the big high-grade iron ore producers are? It's China, Australia, and Brazil.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say...
Yeah, and so if they have more iron ore, natural resources, that's easy to mine than we do, it's cheaper, then what's the problem with that?
Well, I just wanted to point out that Mr. Ehrlich, Dr. Ehrlich, probably jumped the gun a little bit on that because...
What? Are you saying that iron ore today is more expensive than it was 10 years ago?
No, it's probably about the same.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper.
Probably about the same, but you got to remember, you know, these places, and you know, it makes sense. Starting in the 1960s and the 70s, that's when these American steel companies really started having their problems. And I'm not sure if it was totally like a union fault. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then, Dan, you'd be wrong. It was the unions that destroyed the American steel industry.
Okay.
And now we ship it from overseas because it's cheaper because our unions were too greedy and out of control. Dan, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Bob and you're live. Call us after the show if you're interested in any of our materials. We got this great video. It's a video of one of our TV shows, Environmentalists Lose a 10-Year Bet. In fact, for $24.95, you could subscribe every month and get a video from us, from Bob and you're live. It also helps support us. Keep us on the air. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.